Hello, I'm author Carnigaldon. Welcome to the next instalment of Wolf of the Plains.
On the fourth day after Wen Chao had lowered the gold curtains of his litter and been borne away over the plains, the warning horns sounded, and the Tatar raiders came in hard and fast. Temujin and his brothers came skidding out of their gears, while the warriors moved to their positions without panic. Those on the main path pulled wooden barriers up from the ground, jamming staffs under them to keep them solid and force the riders to slow. Temujin saw his men ready their arrows, laying them down on the frozen ground moments before they sighted the first enemy in his stinking furs. The Tatars rode three abreast, high in the saddle as they searched for targets. Temujin felt the ground shudder as the first riders reached the barrier in their path. Two swung their mounts around it, interfering with the third. They saw the men in its shadow and released their shafts from instinct, hammering them uselessly into wood. As soon as they struck, Kachyun and Kasar rose above the edge and loosed. Their arrows slammed two Tatars into the hard ground at full gallop. The Tatars who galloped behind their fellows found their way blocked by riderless ponies and the dead. Two leapt the barricade and found themselves in an open space with drawn bows all around. They had barely time to shout before dark shafts impaled them. Another of the Tatars tried the leap, and his pony crushed the barrier flat. Kasar rolled away, but Kachyan's leg was caught, and he lay helpless as a rider drew back on his bow to pin him to the ground. Arslan stepped out from one side and ripped a sword across his throat. Arrows whined around them as Arslan yanked Kachyun free. Kasar was on one knee, sending shaft after shaft into the Tatars, but six men broke through untouched. Temujin saw two of his men face them and fall. The second barrier group turned to send arrows after them, and behind, another group of six broke past his brothers. The raid was hanging in the balance despite his preparations. He stepped out and chopped his blade into a man's thigh. Blood spat at him as the man screamed, yanking wildly on his reins. Out of control, the Tatar turned into a gear, which collapsed with a crackle of broken wood, catapulting him over the pony's head. The first group of six turned their bows on Temujin, forcing him to leap for cover. A snarling warrior rode at him, his bow bent. Temujin rolled, coming up with his sword outstretched. The man yelled as the blade buried itself in his gut, and the arrow buzzed over Temujin's head. The pony hit Temujin, knocking him flat. He rose groggily and looked around him. The camp was in chaos. The Tatars who lived had drawn swords for the close work. Temujin saw two kick their mounts at Arslan, and he scrabbled for his bow. He could hear his mother yelling, and, as he turned, Borte darted out from a gear, rushing after little Temulan. His young sister was running in panic, and neither of them saw the Tatar bearing down on them. Temujin held his breath, but Arslan was armed and ready for his attackers. He aimed at the warrior bearing down on Borte. He heard a sudden thunder, and another Tatar was riding at him, sword already swinging to take off his head. Temujin dropped to his knees as he let go. Then something hit him hard enough to shake the world, and he fell. Jelme stepped up to his father's side, and, as Arslan's blade found the neck of one of the Tatars, Jelme almost cut the other's head off. Their ponies hammered past without direction. Barely a dozen Tatars still lived, and Arslan saw two pulled out of their saddles and knifed. The survivors galloped back the way they had come, shafts whistling after them. Arslan saw one coming back from the other side of the camp, the kicking legs of a captive across the saddle. His left hand snapped out to yank Borte free, but caught only an edge of cloth, and then the man was past. Kasar was already following the rider. "Mount up!" Arslan roared, running for the ponies. "They have one of the women! Mount!" Then he saw Temujin, and skidded to a stop in horror. Their khan lay surrounded by dead men. A pony with a broken leg stood shivering next to him. Arslan pushed it away as he knelt. There was a lot of blood, and Arslan felt his heart contract in a painful spasm. He touched a flap of flesh that had been torn from Temujin's scalp. With a shout of joy, he saw it still bled into the pool that lay around his head. Arslan lifted Temujin free of the blood that covered half his face. "He is alive!" Temujin's brothers galloped out after the raiders, grim-faced, sparing only a glance for the figure in Arslan's arms. As the sun sank and bathed the plains in gold, Kasar and Kachyun came across the body of one of the men they were following. The Tatar had a broken shaft protruding from his stomach. His entire lower body was black with blood, and his face was chalk white. His companions had taken his pony with them, its lighter hoof marks still visible in the turf. The brothers rode as long as they could see tracks. Neither spoke as they mixed a draught of milk and blood tapped from a vein in Catiune's mare. They slept uncomfortably and woke before dawn, kicking their mounts into a gallop as soon as the first light revealed the tracks of the raiders. Throughout the second day, the hoofprints grew fresher and easier to see. The Tatars had tried to lose their pursuers at first, but the tracks of the second morning were almost straight, running fast towards some destination. "If they reach a large camp, we'll lose Borte," Kassar said gloomily. Catiune's face was drawn into a grimace as his tired muscles protested. "They will not escape us, Kassar. One way or the other, we'll hunt them down." As the brothers slept on the third night, both were stiff and tired. The mixture of blood and milk could sustain them indefinitely, but they had no remounts, and the mare was showing signs of soreness. They slept soundly, and Catiune woke with a start to a voice he knew. "It is almost dawn, Catiune," Temujin said by his ear. "Are you ready for another day?" Catiune sprang to his feet and embraced Temujin and then Arslan, surprising the older man. "We cannot be far behind them," he said. A few paces away, Kassar stopped snoring and scrambled to his feet. "I am with you, my brother," Temujin said softly into the darkness under the stars. "How is your head?" Kassar asked. "It aches, but the stitches hold." Temujin glanced towards the east and saw the wolf dawn, the first grey light before the sun rose. He held a skin of black arrack out to them. "Drink quickly and be ready to ride. We've been too long on the chase already." His voice held a quiet pain they all understood. Borte had spent 3 nights with the raiding party. They did not speak of it. The trail wound up through a range of hills, and the broken ground had slowed their headlong pace. The sun was low on the horizon when they reached a crest and saw the ragged group at the far end of the valley. All four of them slid out of the saddles and pulled their ponies down with them. Temujin lay with his arm over the neck of his mount, pressing it into the grass. "It will be tonight, then," he said. "We'll take them when they make camp." "I have 3 arrows, Catiune said. "All that were left in the quiver when I rode out." Temujin turned to his younger brother, his face like stone. "If you can, I want them down, but not dead. If Borte's alive, I want her to see them die with her own knife." Borte lay on her side on a damp layer of old leaves and pine needles. Her hands and feet had been expertly tied by the Tatar tribesmen as they made their camp in the woods. She watched them fearfully as they built a small fire. They were starving, and the stunned despair of the first few nights was only just beginning to fade. She listened to their guttural voices and tried not to be afraid. It was hard. They had ridden into Temujin's camp with every expectation of a successful raid. Instead, they had been smashed and broken, losing brothers and friends and almost their own lives. 2 in particular were still seething at the shame of their retreat. It was those 2 who had come for her on the first night, taking out their frustration and anger in the only way they had left. Borte shuddered as she lay there. The youngest of them was little more than a boy, but he had been the cruelest, and punched her face until she was dazed and bleeding. Then he had raped her with the others. Borte made an animal sound of fear that she could not control. She told herself to be strong, but as the young one stood up from the fire and walked over to her, she felt her bladder give way in a sudden hot rush. He saw it and showed his teeth. "I thought about you all day," he told her. She did not cry out as he dragged her to the men around the fire. The Tatars watched with interest as he untied her feet. She could see the lust in their eyes, and she gathered herself to fight them again. It would not stop them, but it was all she had left, and she would not give them that last piece of her pride. As soon as her legs were free, she kicked out, her foot thumping into the young Tatar's chest. He slapped it away with a grim chuckle. "You are all dead men," she snapped. "He will kill you all." The youngest was flushed and excited, and he did not respond as he yanked at her deal and exposed her breasts to the evening cold. She struggled wildly, and he nodded to one of the others to help him hold her down. The one who rose was thick-bodied and stank. She kicked with all her strength, and the young one cursed. "Take our legs, Eilig," he ordered, pulling at his furs to expose himself. Then they all heard the crunch of footsteps on the leaves. Four men strode out from between the trees. Three carried swords, and the fourth had a bow drawn right back to his ear. The Tatars roared in alarm, but the newcomers were silent as they darted in. Temujin used his hilt to punch a man from his feet. He kicked down hard as he went over his enemy, feeling the nose bone snap under his heel. The next was rising from Borte, and Temujin did not dare look at her as he ripped his sword across the man's thighs, shoving him onto his back. The man's knife fell in the leaves as Temujin turned away, looking for another target. It came to rest by Borte, and she picked it up in her bound hands. The young Tatar lay howling on the ground, his limbs flailing as he tried to rise. Borte found his eyes and dug her nails into them, listening to him scream. The knife point scraped along his face, laying his cheek open as she found the eye socket and pressed her full weight down. Suddenly, there was no resistance. She mouthed wordless rage as she twisted the blade in the socket, digging deeper. "He is dead," Aslan said, laying a hand on her shoulder. She jerked away, as if his touch had scalded her. And when she looked up, the older man's eyes were full of sorrow. "You are safe now." Borte did not speak, though her eyes filled with tears. The rest of the Tatars were crying in agony and fear all around. It was no more than she would have wanted. Temujin strode across the camp and pulled her into his arms. She struggled then, bursting into sobs as she tried to get away from him. "Be still," he ordered, holding her tighter. "It is over, Borte. Be still." The fight went out of her in an instant, and she sagged in his embrace, weeping. "I have you now," he whispered. "You are safe." There was a red core to him that wanted to hurt the men who had taken her. "Build up the fire," Temujin said to his brothers. "I want them to know what is coming." Aslan shook his head. "Let us kill them and go back to the others. There is no honor in what you are planning." Temujin turned to him, his eyes wild. "Leave if you want to," he snapped. "This is a blood debt." Aslan stood very still. "I will take no part in it," he said at last. Temujin nodded. Kassar and Kachiyun had come to stand by his side. All three brothers looked at the swordsmith, and he felt cold. There was no pity in their eyes. Behind them, the Tatars moaned in terror, and the fire crackled as it grew. Temujin stood bare-chested, sweat gleaming on his skin. The fire was an inferno with a roaring yellow heart. "I give these lives to the sky and earth, scattering their souls in fire," Temujin said, raising his head to the cold stars. His mouth and chest were bloody in a great black streak that reached down to his waist. He held the last Tatar by the throat. The man was weak from his wounds, but he still struggled feebly. Temujin did not seem to feel the weight. He was lost in the trance of death. Three bodies lay naked to one side of the fire, with black holes in their chests, and enough blood to wash away grief and anger. The last Tatar moaned in terror, his hands clawing at Temujin's arm. Borte stood into the firelight, her eyes catching the flickering light, so she seemed to have flames within her. Temujin drew his knife again, already slick with dark life. In a sharp jerk, he opened the Tatar's chest, ripping the weapon back and forth. The Tatar's mouth opened, but no sound came. Shining organs pulsed as Temujin reached in, gripping and sawing. He pulled out a piece of streaming flesh from the heart. He pressed it onto the tip of his blade and held it into the flames, so his own skin blistered as the meat sizzled and spat. He let the Tatar fall, pulled the seared flesh from his blade, and held it out to Borte. She chewed hard to swallow it, feeling hot blood dribble over her lips. This was the oldest magic, the eating of souls. She felt the meat slide down her throat, and with it came a sense of great lightness and strength. Her lips slid back to show her teeth, and Temujin seemed to slump, as if something dark had gone out of him. In an instant, he was no more than a tired man, worn out by grief and pain. Borte raised her hand to her husband's face, touching his cheek and leaving a smear of blood there. "It is enough," she said over the crackle of flame. You can sleep now. The warriors who had come into the gares of the Karait had dismounted and were surrounded by families. The crowd of Karait children parted, and Togrul saw his bondsmen were there before him. As the Khan approached the group, his heart sank at the small number of them. Where was the hoard Wen had promised? Many of the newcomers stared around them with fascination and nervousness. In the center, Togrul saw five men standing by thin ponies, their faces hard and strained. He beamed at them as he came forward, his bondsmen falling in behind.
"I grant you guest rights in my home," he said. "Which one of you is Temujin of the Wolves?"
The tallest stepped forward, bowing his head stiffly.
"No longer of the Wolves, my lord. I owe no loyalty to the tribe of my father. These are my only people now."
Temujin had never seen a man quite as fat as Togrul before. He tried to keep the surprise from his face as Togrul greeted his brothers, as well as Jelme and Arslan. The Khan could not have been more than 30, and his grip was strong. But flesh cloaked him, so that his deal strained under a wide belt. His face was round, with thick rolls of fat over his collar. Even stranger was the fact that he wore a robe very similar to the one Wen had worn on his visit. Togrul's hair was tied back in the manner of the chin, and he looked like no Khan Temujin had ever seen. Togrul finished his welcome and placed heavy hands on his belly.
"The beast has woken, my friends. You must be hungry after your journey."
He clapped his hands and called for food to be brought. Temujin watched as the crowd moved away to the gares, no doubt looking for enough food to ease the Khan's appetite. They seemed long familiar with the task.
"I do not see more than 30 warriors with you," Togrul said.
"Wen Chao told me there could be as many as 100.
"I will find more," Temujin told him, instantly defensive. Togrul raised an eyebrow in surprise.
"Is it true, then, that you welcome wanderers in your camp? Do they not steal?"
"Not from me," Temujin replied, "and they fight well. I was told you needed a war leader. If you do not, I will take them back into the north." Togrul blinked this sharp response. For a moment, he wished he had a single son instead of the daughters his wife had given him. Perhaps then he would not need to be courting savages fresh in from the hills.
"Wen Chao spoke highly of you, and I trust his recommendation," he said. "However, we will talk of that when we have eaten."
He smiled again in anticipation. "There is a Tatar camp a month's ride to the north," Temujin said, ignoring the offer. "There are perhaps 100 warriors there. If you will match my men with 30 more, I will bring you Tatar heads and show you what we can achieve." Togrul blinked at him. The young warrior was surrounded by a huge camp and many armed men, but he spoke as if Togrul was the one who should be bowing his head.
"We will talk of that also, but if you do not eat with me, I will be insulted."
Platters of steaming meat were being brought out into the cold air, and a fire had been laid in the center of the camp. "Very well, my lord," Temujin said reluctantly. "We will eat first."
"I am honored," Togrul said,
unable to keep a sharp tone from his voice. Wen Chao joined them at the fire when the sun had cleared the horizon. His soldiers did not join in the feasting. Temujin saw the first among them, Yuan, direct the others to defensive positions around the camp while his master ate. Togrul would not allow conversation until he had sated his appetite. Twice Temujin began to speak, but both times Togrul merely gestured to the food, too busy with his own. The fat Khan seemed to have no limit to the amount he could take in. At last, Togrul announced himself satisfied and hid a belch with his hand.
"You can see we have not gone hungry in the winter," he said cheerfully, patting his belly. "The spirits have been good to the Karait."
"And they would be generous in the future," Wen Chao added, watching Temujin. "I am glad to see you, my lord."
The last two words sounded false in his throat, but Temujin accepted them as his due.